Welcome to Linux Crazy Podcast. This is podcast number 26. Everybody, and welcome to Linux Crazy Podcast. Hope everybody's doing good. I wanted to get out a podcast. It's been about a month. I've been a little bit under the weather. I had skin cancer on my shin taken out. I noticed it about a month ago. It was about the size of a dime something and it wouldn't go away. So I went to the dermatologist and come to find out it wasn't melanoma, thank goodness. It was squamous cell carcinoma, which is a type of skin cancer that grows real fast. I guess it's very aggressive. So by the time they went to take it out, it was about the size of a quarter, I want to say, about a quarter of an inch tall. But they had to take out a size of a hockey puck size, not that thick, but maybe a quarter of an inch deep down. Still, it's a pretty big hole in my leg that they had to stitch all back up. So it was a little bit painful and kind of made me a little weak. So, kind of recovering from that, but I'm all better now, and feeling fine. It's healing up good. So, the next thing I've been up to is I've been learning Python, which is a programming language. I've been stealing other people's code for a pretty good while, so I thought it was about time that I started learning how to write a little bit, anyhow, at least maybe understand it, because it's a little hard for me to wrap my head around it, but persistence pays off. I'm not very smart, but I am persistent, so I keep just beating my head up against it, and it's sinking in slowly but surely. Verbal got me interested in Python because he said that he was creating a IRC client written in Python. So when I started asking him about it, he said, yeah, you should be able to learn it. And when I started looking around, everybody said it's one of the easier languages to learn. So I sure am glad I'm not learning one of the harder languages. So anyhow, I'm going to put up on linuxcrazy.com all the links that I ran into in my adventures of learning Python. Just really getting started. It'll probably take me, you know, I've heard people say, oh yeah, I learned it in 2 weeks. Well, it's going to take me way more than 2 weeks, I can tell you that. I also enrolled in a class at my local community college. It's a, you know, getting started in Python basics. It's the first course that you take. And when I get done that, I'll take an intermediate course. But for the links, there's a whole bunch of good information on the web as far as Python. That's a great thing about open source software, is that everybody's willing to help everybody else out. So for me, a complete dummy, I started out with Snake Wrangling for Kids, which is the pretty much basic programming, and it's geared toward Python, and that's by Jason L. Briggs. It's very good. And then there's a tutorial I went through, was programming Crash Course, which again is general programming, but it's based on Python, kind of give you a background. And then Python 101, that's by Dave Klugman, and gets a little more advanced, but it's still geared towards the novice like me. And then one day of IDLE toying. That's real good. That's by Danny Yo, and that kind of teaches you how to use the IDLE for Python. And the next one is The Beginner's Guide to Python, and that's on the PyCon Wiki. And then I use Vim to create my files and everything, and so I'm not that great at Vim, but I can use it. But I need the Vim Commands Cheat Sheet, and that's by Nana Langstedt. And then here's a real good one, Learning with Python, and that takes you pretty much from the basics and gives you the, starts you from the beginning and gives you the basics on learning with Python, and that's by Jeffrey Elkman, Alan Downey, and Chris Myers. I think it's Jeffrey Elkner, Alan Downey, and Chris Myers. And then here's a great one, A Bite of Python by Swaroop, S-W-A-R-O-O-P-C-H, and that's excellent. And then another one, excellent, Think Python by Alan Downey. And then in order to kind of see what I was doing and to have a little fun, here's a PYGTK2.0Tutorial, and that's for a GUI. That's to have some fun with the GUI. You can make little boxes, and it's pretty neat. And here's another one that's pretty neat. It's Swampy. That's again by Alan Downey, and what it does is it's got some modules in there for you can do some pretty cool stuff that you can actually see your code working. And then the Python Cookbook, and what that is, that's a whole bunch where people put in some example scripts that you could take a look at, use, but it helps me looking at scripts to kind of see what's going on, because I already know what the program does, and now I can see how it does it by this, what the Python code's doing. So that's very interesting. And not to get overly confused, but I got two books, and I searched around, and these are both excellent books. There's many, many, many great Python books out there, but these are two that seem to fit me pretty well. And the first one is, and it's basic, but it goes pretty involved, and it's an excellent, excellent book. It's Learning Python by Mark Lutz and David Asher. And then the granddaddy of them all, Core Python Programming by Wesley Chun. And the Core Python Programming takes you from the beginning too, but he gets into some pretty involved stuff later on. I'm not into the involved stuff right yet. It's involved enough for me, and I'm only on chapter 3. So there's a lot of chapters in the book, so that's why I said I'm not going to be learning in a no matter of 2 weeks. It's going to take me a little while. Seems like it takes me about 30 tries of each thing to kind of sink in my head. So anyhow, persistence, 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 and it's a lot of fun, and I'm in no rush, so I've got all the time in the world, but I play around with it a little bit every day, and that the class is helping me because it makes me, you know, do the assignments and stuff in the class. So it's a lot of fun, and hopefully in another year I'll be able to write something beneficial. I can write a little something now, but it's just pretty simple fun stuff, so it's a lot of fun. While I was learning Python, I wanted to get something to kind of practice with. So what I got was, it's an IRC bot. It's called SUPY bot, and it's pretty neat. I have it running at pound Linux crazy. That's on Freenode. And but when I initially installed it, Gentoo installed it in Python 2.5 site packages, which is, you know, in user lib, I believe. So in order to run it, I was running it from the system, and I wanted to just run it from my home. So what I did was, it's just Python script, so I installed the same version in home. But now I got two, it's looking for two different things, and it's grabbing stuff from site packages, and it's also grabbing stuff from my home, the different modules and stuff like that. All the configuration files and everything is in home. Because when I start it up, I can point it to those files, but it's pulling some of the stuff from Python, the site packages, because it's running off Python, my main Python install. So anyhow, I didn't have it exactly set up just right at the beginning, and what was happening was, as I was taking the bot parting the bot from the IRC channel, it was still running in the background. And so Freenode, it was still logged in on Freenode. So I had about 3 or 4 or 5, 6 or 7, I don't even know how many of these bots running on Freenode, not on any channel, but just running on Freenode. But it was creating a lot of error messages because, you know, all this overlap. and it was filling up the log in my home. Now, I didn't know all this. All I knew was is that my home partition was filling up at a very fast rate. Really, I didn't know it was filling up until all of a sudden I went to do something and it said the disc was full. I said, what? Disc is full. So come to find out that it had filled up like maybe 50 or 60 gigabytes of data just in logs. I mean, how it did that, I have no idea, but that's what it was. But in the meantime, I had this other hard drive and I've been wanting to install it, so this was a good incentive to go ahead and install this other hard drives. But now how am I going to transfer it home over? So a very, very good guide on fun2.org, which is by Daniel Robbins, which is the gentleman that started Gen2 from the beginning. And he does a lot of he has a lot of guides for Bash and did a lot of stuff for IBM Developer Works. So this way of doing it is his way of doing it, and he probably got it from somewhere else himself, but anyhow, it works fantastic, and I changed it a little bit for my needs. But anyhow, I'll just walk you through what I did. So in case if you ever wanted to install another hard drive and put your home partition on it, it's really easy, and it worked out great. So here's what I did. First thing I did was I used the Gen2 minimal install CD because I had to create a file system on this new hard drive, number one, and a partition and a file system. And also I knew that if I booted up this minimal install CD that I wouldn't be using the hard drive that home's on, so that it would be easy to work with. And that's just the way I did it. You can do it by dropping down into init1 and doing it that way, but this was just much easier for me. So first thing I did was created the partition with fdisk. That's real easy. So then I created the file system, and I just went with ext2, the journaling file system. And so that worked out real good. What I did was, first thing you do is you go ahead and boot up the CD, like I said, and then what I did was you want to create a new spot for your new home partition. So make directory /mnt/newpart. So then I'm going to mount the new partition that I just created on that new part. So mount /device/, in my particular case, it was SDB1 was the partition that I wanted. It's going to be home now. So mount device SDB1, mount new part. So then what you do is you just go ahead and CD to home. So you sit on top of the existing home partition. So then you copy it. So here's what you do. You go copy CP /AX *(mount/newpart). So what's it doing? It copied. It copies that copy -AX command recursively copies the contents of home to mount new part, preserving all file attributes and not crossing any mount points. After this command finishes, mount new part will contain an exact copy of all the files and directories currently in home. So that's what I did. So now I got a copy, an exact copy of my home in mount new part. So the next thing I want to do is I want to CD to /. That way I get off the home partition. So then I want to unmount home. So then I want to unmount the mount new part. So then I want to mount device SB1 to home. So what that does is it pulls it off new part and you mount it on home. So now I have a full back to home. Now I have a fully working system. So now I got to create the fstab entry for it, device fstab. So just create your stock fstab entry for that new partition, And then what I do is that I CD to back to root, CD to forward slash. Then I went ahead and I moved home to home.old. What I did that for was just in case something happened. I got a backup copy of it. I can always reverse this process. And that was pretty much it. Then I went ahead and once I booted up, I went ahead before I booted up, I went ahead and deleted that home partition, the old home partition. I went ahead and deleted it. So, and that is pretty much it for that. I mean, it worked fine, and I'm using it now. And then I got, now since I figured out where all those log files were and deleted all that, now I got gobs of disk space. So, we're moving right along here, All right, the other exciting thing that I did was change my router. My old router was a D-Link 604 that I'd had forever. And I was getting a lot of traffic and a lot of errors because I run a web server out of the house here. Also, I've got that Asterisk running here. All my telephone calls and everything running out of here, out of through the Asterisk box. So, and all that's port forwarding and everything. And plus me fooling around on the internet. And anyhow, so I wanted to get a new router. So everybody's been talking about for a long time about the Linksys WRT54GL, you know, which runs Linux on it. And Newegg had it. So it was like $65 plus, I think it was $15 shipping. So it was like $75. So went ahead and got the router here. And then next thing I got to do is I got to put ddwrt on there, dd slash wrt on there, which is a fantastic, I guess it's flash firewall slash control, whatever it is. But anyhow, it's just absolutely wonderful software. I don't know whoever did it, but they do a great job. But you have to flash the, the operating system. I guess you're putting a whole new operating system on it. So I read up on it for a while, and it seems pretty easy, but didn't want to make any mistakes and make this thing a brick. So went ahead and got the most stable one that runs on this particular router, which is version 23 SP2. And I'll follow all the directions, blah, 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 and flashed it. And when I flashed it, everything went fine. And then I went ahead and turned it off, and I turned it back on, and it wouldn't do anything. And I was, uh-oh. So then I kind of read around a little bit, and then people said, well, just turn it off for a minute and try it again. So that's what I did, and it came up beautiful. I think what it was, now I was real patient. I didn't do anything because it says when it's doing its thing, don't interrupt or don't do anything. So I just left it alone and let it do its thing. And I thought I did what I was supposed to do, but maybe it just takes a reboot, a good hard reboot. And I think that's what happened was when I turned it off, it had a real good hard reboot. So then it reset itself. So once it reset itself, now that thing is working absolutely fantastic. Seems like I got a little bit better traffic flow, and I mean, it was real easy to set up for the Asterisk because, you know, I got to open up some other ports for Asterisk, and it was real easy to port forward the ports for the web server. So that was a very nice experience. But man, you're talking about nervous, man. When that thing was just blank, when I tried to go to the web interface and it was blank, I was a little nervous, and I was very happy when it finally booted up. So that's pretty much the adventures here lately. And hopefully I'm going to try to get a couple more interviews going. The interviews are a little hard to set up because I have to ask about five or six different people maybe to get one or two to do an interview. maybe it's because this is not exactly a real popular podcast, or I don't know, for whatever reason, people don't want to do interviews. A lot of, I found too, is a lot of the people that you would really want, I'd really want to interview, their native language is in English, and so they're a little bit shy of, you know, sounding like, you know, maybe not real great on speaking English. Maybe they're a little bit nervous that they're not going to sound so good or something. But anyhow, I'll just keep trying. And I've got a little computer for someone that will be free to a good home. I'll even pay the shipping in the United States. If you live somewhere else and you want it, just help me out with the shipping. I'm sure we can work something out. But anyhow, it's small, and it's a P3-933 gigahertz. It's got 192 of RAM. It's got a 20 gigabyte hard drive, and it has a CD-ROM. I got this. Someone didn't want it anymore because it wasn't working. And what it was it had Windows, I think 98 on it, and it was all corrupted. And I checked it out. It seemed fine to me, so I installed Gen 2 on it. So it's got a fresh install, all up-to-date Gen 2 on it. It's got LAMP on it, Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. Works perfect. You could make this a little web server, or a little file server, or a little router, or whatever you want to do with it. You know, it's up to you, because it's going to be yours. And you can play around with Gen 2, if nothing else. It's a Gateway Essential 933C. So just if anybody wants it, just let me know at david@linuxcrazy.com. Just email me and I'll send it to you. So thanks very much for listening to the podcast. And like I said, I'll try to do one in another couple weeks. I'll talk to you later. Bye.